Today's discussion of Parshat Vayeshev is taking place on December the 24th. Tomorrow, across the Christian world, there will be discussions concerning the Savior, peace for mankind, love, the Redeemer who has come to bring it. Their vision, of course, of the Righteous One, the Redeemer, is that He was born of Immaculate Conception, that He was the Son of God, that He was sinless, so that He would be able to atone for all sinners. Our vision, as we shall see today, is that the Righteous One need not be perfect. In fact, He is a sinner, and that is not a problem. Consider the righteous individual that we see in today's Parsha of Vayeshev, Yosef HaTzadik. We know that according to the Medrash Tanchuma, we are told, Shnei b'nei Adam nikru tzadikim, Noach v'Yosef. Two individuals were called tzadikim, Noach and Yosef. And we are focusing obviously upon Yosef. And Rav Ben Zion Ferrer, in his essay on the topic of Yosef HaTzadik, in his Panim Chadashot BaTorah, describes the following. Yosef, as we know, certainly it did not seem, was one who acted like a tzaddik. Yosef, who caused the hatred of his brothers to be taken out against him. And yet, despite whatever he did, as we shall see, still he did not lose the ability to be called a tzaddik. Why is that? Because, says Rav Ferrer, that while Yosef did indeed sin, he was not guiltless, he was not sinless, but yet he atoned for all of those sins and became a Baal Tshuva, which we know is even on a higher level than the tzaddik. As we know, Amru Chachamim, Makom Shabali Tshuva Omdin, Ein Tzaddikim Gemurim Yechon Lamod Bo. We know that in a place where people who have repented stand, not even full-blown tzaddikim can stand there, as the Rambam puts forth in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, based on the Gemara Brachos, Daf Lamed Dalet. Let's take a look at Yosef and see what he did, see what he did wrong, and see how he corrected his sins. It says, Ve'aveh Yosef et dibatam ra'ah le'avihem. Yosef brought all the evil reports that he could about his brothers to his father. And obviously, as a result of this, he incurred the hatred of his brothers. And yet, Yosef did full tshuva, says Rav Ferrer on this account, because when the wife of his master, Potiphar, said terrible things about him, Vatikralan She Beita Batomelahem Lemoru Evilanu Ishivri Litzachek Banu Bailai Lishkovi Mi, when she claimed falsely that Yosef was trying to have a sexual encounter with her, so we know he did not utter a word in order to defend himself. He didn't tell them that she was a liar. He didn't tell him how things really were. He was quiet about it. Concerning the fact that he had spoken gossip about others, so in this case, he held back in speaking gossip about someone else, even when it would have been warranted, in order to achieve a full atonement. In fact, we know as a result, Yosef would be thrown into jail, and nonetheless, he would stay there more than 10 years, but he would not reveal what had truly happened. Then we know, we are told, Yisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav, ki ben zikunim hulo, yasalo ketonet pasim. Vayu ahav ki oto ahav avia mikol ahav, vayisnu oto, l'shalom. So it turned out that after giving him this coat, so his brothers, of course, seeing that his father had loved one brother more than the others, hated him and could not speak with him with any peace. One might ask, what fault is it of Yosef if his brothers hated him because his father gave him a coat? In other words, the father gave him the coat. What did Yosef do wrong? He was just an innocent bystander. But even so, says Rav Ferrer, Yosef certainly did not have to wear the coat. It was given to him, but he didn't have to wear it. The fact that he went ahead and wore it, he was not commanded by his father to do so necessarily. This is something that he decided to do on his own. And again, it led to not only jealousy, but hatred as a result. But here too, says Rav Ferrer, Yosef did tshuva. Because if Yosef, we know, was the most favored brother, and he welcomed that, at least when he had his own children, Ephraim and Manasseh, and Ephraim was certainly the one that should be more dear if he was the Bar Chachim, the wiser one, to Yosef. And even so, Ephraim was not shown any greater love to him than Manasseh was. And when he took them both to his father Yaakov when he was on his deathbed, and when there was an effort by Yaakov to give the greater bracha, put his right hand upon Ephraim and not Manasseh, still Yosef tried to switch them so that that would not happen, in order to correct what had happened previously where the younger brother was given special treatment. It turns out that in any event, Yaakov said he knew what he was doing and it had to be done this way. But still, Yosef attempted to correct this situation. Also, Yosef, we know, told his brothers about these dreams that he had. He told them about the dreams that he had. The first set of dreams with the sheaves of corn. And they all bowed down to his sheave. And some say the explanation was, in terms of what the corn represented, was that they would all give him their monetary resources. They would give him their taxes to him as Yosef would be over them. But what happened in the end? Instead of them giving their resources to Yosef, v'yikalkel Yosef et aviv yet achav yet kol beit aviv lechem lefiataf. It says that in fact Yosef was the one who ended up giving to them. They did not give to Yosef. And as a result, this was another expression of his desire and his ability to correct what he had previously done wrong. And then in terms of the second dream that he had about the sun and the moon and the stars and how everyone was bowing to him, there too, that's understood as slaves bowing down to him being the king. And yet Yosef did not accept the brothers as slaves. It says, Asher yimsa ito me'avadecha umeit v'gam anachnu niyeh la'adoni la'avadim, in reference to when the gevia was missing that belonged to Yosef, and there was suspicion that one of the brothers had taken it. So they said, whoever has taken this of your slaves shall die, and we will be your slaves. But the shaliach of Yosef said to them, Hashem saito hui li'eved v'yatem tiyu nikiim. But no, Yosef's messenger was told to tell them that whoever was the one who stole the object, he would indeed be a slave. But everyone else, the plan was not to make them into slaves. And so too, later on, Hineinu l'chal avadim. Later the brothers bowed down to Yosef and said, we will be your slaves. Ilu hulo kibel divrei emela. Vayomer alehem Yosef al tiru ki hatachat elokim ani. Yosef said, no, you're not going to be my slaves. Don't fear, because everything that has happened with God's guidance, and I am not going to make you into slaves. So Yosef was a Baal Tshuva in every sense of the word, and despite the fact that he had sinned, he is the individual, more even than Noach, who we call Yosef HaTzadik, who we give the appellation of Tzadik to, despite the fact that he was a righteous person who was not perfect and who was a Baal Tshuva, because someone who, as we know, Rav Huttner often emphasized that the greatness of a tzaddik is his ability to fall and to rise up. Not only to rise up, but also to fall. And then recognize that he can get up again, even though he has made mistakes, and he is still capable of being called a tzaddik. If we believe that the Mashiach will be a tzaddik, or even greater, a Baal Tshuva, I think we have indications of that from the history of the genealogy of the Mashiach. Yosef, we see, is a Baal Tshuva. And the Mashiach, we know, as is outlined in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Nun Aleph, the Mashiach is also called Mashiach ben Yosef, the first Mashiach. And thereby he will be a Baal Tshuva, that's why he's called ben Yosef. We know that also, on the other hand, the next Mashiach will be from Yehuda, from the kingly realm. And we know Yehuda and Tamar, in terms of their sexual encounter, that was a disgusting sin on Yehuda's part. Yet Yehuda was the first to be moded, to confess, to do tshuva as a result of his act. And then Mashiach ben David, we know. Mashiach is generally identified as being from David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, as great as he was, we know that he was a Baal Tshuva. And even though the Gemara Masechet Shabbat says that whoever says David HaMelech sinned, Eino Ela Toeh, that person is making an error, but obviously he sinned. Because when Natan HaNavi tells him what he did wrong, he responds, Chatati! He says himself that he sinned. So there's no doubt that David HaMelech sinned. The only question is, did he sin as what would seem to be the obvious scenario when you read in Tanakh, with adultery and murder and so on, or were there other factors like the husband had already been divorced, or he had rebelled against somebody else, so he was sent to a legitimate death, whatever the issues were, but there was certainly something wrong, and David HaMelech, however we know, became a Baal Tshuva, so that the idea of Mashiach and our righteous Redeemer is someone who did sin. In fact, in contrast to Christianity, we can even take it further than that. Not only is it not immaculate conception in Jewish tradition, is it not normal birth, but it is, I would say, immoral conception and a subnormal birth that we can expect and have seen through the history of the arrival of our Mashiach. Lot, of course, has relations with his daughters, and Moab, of course, from which Ruth comes, the great ancestor of the Mashiach, thereby comes about through this forbidden and disgusting act. As we mentioned, Yehuda and Tamar, the kingly aspect of Mashiach coming from Yehuda, and yet he had this improper relationship with his daughter-in-law Tamar. And then we have Ruth and Boaz, who have relations on the threshing floor. In the book of Ruth, hardly something that we would describe as ideal for a man and a woman, and certainly who are two people trying to bring about a Redeemer, a Mashiach. And then we had, as we said, David and Bathsheba, and their questionable relationship in terms of what would come as a result. And we know the Mashiach, in fact, nonetheless comes out of this union. The thought would be why we have this scenario in Jewish tradition of imperfection and immorality, as it were, surrounding the birth of Mashiach, is because we believe that the Mashiach will come from a setting of tshuva. He will lead a generation of Baal tshuva, and he himself will be a Baal tshuva. Of course, this does not have the clean, pure, immaculate picture as is drawn in the Christian faith. And I've quoted before the fact that Professor Byron Sherwin once made the following comment about this. He said, in Christianity, the Messiah has already come, and everything is messianic. In Judaism, the Messiah has not yet come. Things are not messianic. They're just messy. Indeed, we have seen that from the way that the arrival and emergence of Mashiach is described throughout Tanakh, throughout our tradition. But going back as we started to Yosef HaTzadik, we see from the fact that there is sin that takes place, this itself will not be sufficient to undo a person who has been appointed as the righteous Mashiach for Klal Yisrael. May he come. B'mheira b'yameinu.